Well, while the president and officials in the Trump administration, like the Secretary of Energy, are still questioning climate science, many in the West have been experiencing the deadly impact of climate change firsthand. Shannon Osaka spent 2 weeks indoors at her home in Seattle because of the smoke and poor air quality from nearby wildfires.
I would go outside and immediately feel it in my chest, in my lungs, in my throat, and it finally cleared up this weekend.
Osaka is a reporter for the environmental news site Grist, and she wrote a story recently titled, "Will the West's Giant Fires Spark a Climate Awakening?" I recently talked to her about it. Your piece asks if these massive destructive wildfires this season will make people more likely to want to act on climate change. But first, you say people have to know the two are connected, and that's not necessarily intuitive. For example, a lot was made, and rightly so, of the fact that one fire was started as a result of a baby gender reveal party.
Right.
But that's not the totality of why there was a fire or why it was this destructive. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I think that this is kind of a common confusion that people have. People think about wildfires and they're like, okay, what's the cause? Which could be lightning strike, or in this case, you know, the gender reveal party gone wrong. It could be arson. There's lots of different causes that can, you know, create the spark. But there's also connections to climate change that doesn't have to do with the spark. It can also just be climate change is making the overall situation more likely to turn into a giant fire or a huge blaze. And that can be because the terrain is drying out, the forests are drying out, there's less water, there's more drought. It can also be just that the temperatures are higher, which also can fuel wildfires. When I talk to people about this, I try to separate out what's sort of the proximate cause of the fire versus what are the other causes that make it more likely or potentially more severe.
And when it comes to people's perception of climate and the connection between climate and wildfire, I think that you found that it's a little bit complicated by where you live. Tell me about what you found about this perception from your reporting in the West, talking to people there, and from data there.
So I think in California, it's 69% of people, of the state's inhabitants, connect these, you know, record-breaking wildfires with the changing climate. A lot of the people who I talked to in California, particularly people who were waking up under the bright, you know, orange sky, a lot of those people said that they were thinking about climate change. It might not have been the top thing. Some people were thinking about, you know, obviously friends or organizations that they knew who had been affected, who had had land burned down. But it was definitely on their minds. And so that was really encouraging for me. But I also did talk to some people who said, you know, climate change is not really on my radar. I'm not thinking about it. I'm just thinking about how to move forward. So it was definitely a mix, but in the country as a whole, that number is only 52%. And that can be because the country as a whole is maybe less predisposed to think about climate in general, but also because they're not seeing the same headlines or media reporting that are connecting these wildfires to global warming.
And those data were from the Yale Climate Connections, right?
Right. Yeah. The Yale Center on Climate Change Communication. They do a lot of really good long-term polling on this.
So yeah, in the piece you talk about how, you know, overall, only 3/4 of Americans believe that global warming is actually happening. Less than 2/3 understand that it's human caused, that it's not just something that would happen naturally anyways. But you do cite some data in the story that shows that people can change their minds, right?
Yeah, it's very interesting. So the folks over at Yale have found that every year, about 8% of people report that they've recently changed their opinions on global warming. So that can mean a bunch of different things, but for most people, it means that they've become more concerned. And when they ask those people, you know, why has your opinion changed? Why have you become more concerned? Most people say either because they're personally experiencing climate change impacts or they've heard about climate change impacts affecting someone else. So it's clear that things like wildfires, things like drought, seeing these more frequent heat waves, I think that these events are really having an impact on how Americans think about this issue.
There was another study in the journal Nature Climate Change about how people who have some experience with natural disasters do change their behavior too.
Yeah, there was this fascinating study in the UK. It was almost 10 years ago now. but basically that found that people who had directly experienced severe flooding that had been made worse by climate change were more willing to change their energy use. They were more willing to cut their personal carbon emissions. So that's one of the strongest links that's been found in academic literature between people experiencing in their own personal lives, in their own homes, these devastating impacts, and being willing to say, hey, I think I can change my behavior. I think I can switch my energy use.
Yeah. And in your point in the piece is that that may not be enough to actually turn things around. It's going to be more what we do in the political realm and in policymaking.
Right. In a country like the U.S., I mean, where we have not had significant federal climate policy for over 10 years. So this is a thing that, you know, individuals definitely need to contribute to, but we definitely need some sort of federal response. It's this crazy patchwork of state attempts to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. And so it's important to have people doing their part because that can also affect others. If I start cutting my energy use, if I start putting solar panels on my roof, that can encourage other people to do it. But ultimately, it's going to need to be led at the federal level.
It's been pointed out that in the initial week of the wildfires in California, some of the national news outlets covering the story, including the New York Times and NPR, didn't mention climate change. What do you make of that? And what part does the media play in the public's perception of, you know, the connection of climate change and natural disasters?
Yeah, I think it goes back a little bit to what we were talking about earlier, which is that the connection is not as obvious as people want it to be. You know, climate change wasn't out there with a match, right? Climate change made these fires more likely and more severe. And that is a jump that is difficult even for a reporter who doesn't do climate change generally, maybe someone who works generally on weather events or natural disasters or things like that. And so it really takes someone with more expertise. And I think that we're seeing that a lot of general assignment reporters are bringing climate change in more. And I think you'll see people who work on climate change specifically in the media making these connections, but not necessarily general assignment reporters.
Isn't that letting reporters off the hook a little bit?
I think, yeah, maybe it is. I do think that the public is not going to understand this connection unless it comes through the media. The media is still really important at making climate change connections with weather. And so unless it comes from big outlets, unless it comes from, you know, the first or the second or the third story that people read, because we know that people don't, they're not like combing through the entire, you know, corpus of media reporting on the wildfires. They're just going to look at whatever first comes across their plate. So I do think that we have a lot of work to do in the media in terms of training reporters how to make these connections and how to make them in a scientifically robust way, because we don't want people running around and saying, you know, climate change sparked the wildfire either. You know, we want it to be scientifically based.
So back to the title of your piece, which is Will the West's Giant Fires Spark a Climate Awakening? What is the answer?
I think the answer is a qualified yes. If you're already thinking about climate change, these fires were kind of a moment to say, okay, this is a really serious problem. In terms of people who are already say, oh, I don't think climate change is a big deal or it's not human caused, I don't think that something like the wildfires are going to move those people. But to a certain extent, we don't necessarily need to move those people. We need to move people who are already concerned, who are already going to vote with climate change in mind. And I think those people are going to be engaged by the wildfires.
Well, thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm glad you're breathing easier now.
Yeah, me too.
Shannon Osaka is a reporter for Grist, the online environmental news site. Our conversation was part of Covering Climate Now, a global journalism collaboration strengthening coverage of the climate story. I'm Kara Holsapple. You're listening to The Allegheny Front.